first interview of Edinburgh Fringe 2012, and I've decided to go to America because America's decided to come here. Michael and Matt, who are going to give their full names in a moment, from Confused Moose, have got a comedy show here. So first of all, we've got
Michael Bloomquist,
and we've also got
Matt Payton.
So what's brought you during a world global recession meltdown, probably expensively, to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Broken dreams, really. We're part of the Chicago comedy scene, which is just overrun with so many new people every year, especially in the recession. A lot of college kids can't get jobs, so they're deciding to try their hand at comedy and stuff. So we decided to head overseas and try our hand, you know, here in Edinburgh.
Yes, instead of being a small fish in that pond, we thought we'd be an exotic fish in your pond, but still small.
And the title of the show is?
Men of Character.
And I'm a particular fan of character comedy, so I want to get into the skin of this. Now, you've mentioned Chicago. Are you guys part of the impro scene there as well, which is big?
Yeah, we're both improvisers, and we're both actually part of Second City's Professional Conservatory, which is Second City's kind of the big theater where, like, Bill Murray and all those guys came from. So, yeah, we do improv and sketch in the city.
And how is the improv scene, by the very nature of improvisation, managing to stay fresh? Everyone still mentions Chicago. That, you know, if you want to do improv, you've got to kind of go there at some point. Is it still as alive as it ever was?
No, it's kind of like that person who kind of makes it big in their 20s and then in their 30s. Like, you could say Bob Dylan, even. In the 80s, he just kind of was going with the albums type thing.
It's putting out Emotionally Yours right now, I'd say. Yeah. It's years away from Time Out of Mind. I think, like, UCB in New York and L.A. has eclipsed Chicago. Chicago is kind of in its own recession, you will.
So this is character comedy. Tell us a little bit about the theme behind the show.
It's a lot of misanthropic characters, and it all takes place in the same location, but not all at the same time. And it's a lot of kind of sadder, misanthropic characters who are not necessarily giving up on life, but are just purposefully standing away from the wayside, those kind of characters.
Although I wouldn't say they all know they're sad, which is what makes it humorous.
And are these characters improvised, or is this a scripted bit of work?
It's all scripted. Some of it was written through mild improvisation, but it was we fancy ourselves mostly as writers, so it's all scripted. Yeah.
So how do you hold in, you know, the improvisational bit of you if you're actually having to behave yourselves according to a script?
Well, I'm so bad at it that I hold it back regularly. This is my outlet to get the other side out. But we improvise on the edges when you need to.
We ad lib quite a bit. Yeah. A lot of our best jokes, I believe, came through ad libs and just rehearsing and almost getting bored with the material because we've done it so many times. We were trying to keep it fresh for ourselves, and now it's some of our best bits.
That's true.
So take us into one of your rehearsals.
Well, the first 30 minutes...
Hold on, let me start crying.
The first 30 minutes is a lot of neurotic self-doubt and sitting around saying, oh, we're not very good at this, are we? And then we move into about an hour of get-up-and-go type rehearsal where we'll rehearse for 5 minutes and then we'll kind of talk about it and almost start to sit down. Then we'll... No, we have to keep working and... at the end of it, we both hate each other, but we have a mediocre scene on our hands that we can then flesh out in the next rehearsal.
Right. Although I will also say that when we're rehearsing, we tend to improvise more and get a little more goofy and try to make each other laugh more, which has been productive, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's helped us make the show snappier and fun for us to do, and that joy comes across in our performance of the show.
Just as a kind of challenging question then, there's a show in Brighton, my hometown, that really, it's an excellent bit of improvisation. It's long-form improv. It's called Katie and Rach, and it's character comedy, but it's never the same twice. Oh. Why don't you do this as a long-form improvisation?
I think at first we were talking about doing an improv show, a long-form two-man show. But I was doing solo character comedy, written sketch comedy in Chicago, and I asked him if he wanted to join up. So I think just by the nature of we already had some of these bits available that we decided to go with the scripted comedy instead.
And I think the other reason I remember you giving was we would be more consistent if it was written, whereas we were nervous that if important people came on a bad day, that, right, you know, it wouldn't be as reliable.
Right. I think we both, I know this metaphor will kind of fall on, not deaf ears, but on smaller ears over here. We both kind of think of it in baseball terms, where if you succeed at improv, say 4 to 6 times out of 10, you're doing well, but you're going to fail at some point, especially when you're doing it every day. The likelihood that you're going to fail on a day someone important is there is higher.
And what have you guys done to make this travel? This is now coming to a British audience. It's in Scotland. It's not America. Some American sitcom has traveled really well, and you know, some hasn't, and in the other direction. So how have you imagined Edinburgh?
Well, I think both of us have a shall we say, more British sensibility about our comedy. It's not quite as large and loud as, say, American comedy. It's a little on the wittier end, I'd like to say.
Yeah, well, I feel like we skew more toward dry and sardonic humor, which we appreciate in the Brits, and we thought if Americans are indifferent to us, maybe the Brits will take more of a shine.
Yeah.
Have you tested this out on a home crowd yet?
Yes, we have. And
did they take a shine?
We got a very good response, actually. Some of the jokes, which are some of our favorites, didn't do as well, but that just happens when you're doing a show.
And then the ones we didn't think much about or give a second thought to went over huge. And that's just a trick of the trade, you know.
So we're excited to see what a British crowd might think about our show.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here at a table with two guys quite young who look at ease with each other. How does the dynamic work between the two of you as two performers?
Well, that vacation in the Poconos really helped. And then a lot of synchronized swimming we do with each other before we rehearse. And, well, we've known each other a year and a half. We see each other regularly. And now we actually have a purpose to get together other than to complain about other people. So that helps.
Yeah, I think actually this trip has helped a lot with our rapport. Usually we have... like, we see each other every week or so, but now we're around each other every day. I think we've become much more comfortable with each other, and we know about each other more. So it's easy to joke and have fun. And
the door missing on the toilet really helps with that, too.
definitely does.
But isn't it important, too, because this is such an intense thing? You've come to another country, probably, you know, in each other's space a lot as performers, also as people. Do you need to create distance, too, in order to be able to create the intimacy on the stage?
That's a great question. We haven't run into that problem yet, but I do know that at some point in the next week I will need my alone time away from him, and we'll just have to like kind of separate and do our own thing, and that which I think will make the show stronger in the end.
That's true.
And just in terms of then this is going to run over a period of time, what's your process for... is it a printed show? It's not going to change now. Are you going to be working on it at the end of the first night? Is it going to evolve? What's your plan for that?
I think it will evolve over time. Things that don't hit as well, we'll definitely try and spice it up or maybe even put a new scene in. I don't think either of us are averse to changing it at some point if we feel the need is there. And then say we get a review that points out some things we feel are bad about our own show, then, I mean, we'll work even harder to fix that gap, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, there was a scene we just added a week ago that was a big hit back at home that was written 2 days before we did it, so we're not averse to last-minute change.
Final question then, just without giving too much away, but let's just dive into the show itself. Just give us a couple of moments from it or thoughts about it that when you look at it, go, yeah, I love that bit. That's a really great bit. What are your highlights from it?
For me, I have this one character where I don't say anything the entire show. I'm just kind of dancing around like a fool. I've got big headphones on. And he's talking to me as my grandfather the entire show and telling me these life lessons. And I'm just dancing and dancing and dancing. And then it gets to the third scene of this, and he walks away. And I take off my headphones, and I haven't heard a single thing he said. And I just say, well, rocking out to my Skrillex.
And one from you?
Actually, the one that was written a week ago is about these two children who are rivals, but they talk like they belong to a country club in Britain in their late 60s, and they just circle each other and mock each other relentlessly, very politely, and I get a kick out of doing it and watching it.
So it sounds like we've got an interesting comedy show coming over from the United States. And so thanks very much to...
Michael Blomquist.
And to...
Matt Payton.
And the title of the show is...
Men of Character.
So thanks very much indeed.